Today's daf, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, Masechet Shkalim, is daf Yud Aleph. And we got up to understanding the part of the Mishnah that said that according to Abba Shaul, the Kohanim Gedolim built the Kevesh for the Parav out of their own money. And it's not true that it was taken from the Lishka. So now we have a very strange Maimer over here from Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Hanina said, Shachatzit gdola haita bivnei kohanim gdolim. Sheyoter mishishim kikrei zahav ayu motziim ba. This was pure shachtzanut. It's just stuck up, overconsumption, high class living. It was absolutely stupid that what they did was they turned the kevesh for the pora into an opportunity to throw out money. So they would spend like shishim money for this ridiculous ramp, which anyway existed before, was perfectly usable. And that is just pure conspicuous consumption. That's all that it is. It's like they do in Borough Park. Somebody buys a house, it's a $2 million home, and he's not going to move into somebody else's home. First, he's going to tear down the home. Then he'll rebuild it to his specifications. Now we know that he's rich enough to throw out a home. So, I mean, says Rabbi Hanina, well, that's what they did. Because Ayakiv Shasha Parah Omed, there's a perfectly usable kevesh that had been built for the previous Parah Aduma, and these guys refused to use it. My Parah? Step onto this idiot's kevesh? Who was the Kohen Gadol before me? Outrageous. So he would build a new kevesh for millions of dollars for absolutely no purpose. So, Ela Sotro, lo haya achad mehem motzi parato b'kevshos chaviro. You couldn't find a Kohen over his dead body is going to allow, that's a joke on the Parah, is going to allow the Parah to be brought out on another Kohen's kevesh. Ela Sotro, he would tear down the other guy's kevesh and he would build the whole thing anew from his own money. Says the Gemara, that's crazy. That's impossible. Heitiv Rebula Kamei Rebbi Mana. How could he say possibly such a thing that it was shachtzanut, that the Kohanim Gedolim, you know what it says about Shimon HaTzadik? Shimon HaTzadik was the least shachtzan in the world, right? He was like the Gadol in Anivas and in Yerushalayim. And it says by him that Atani, Shimon HaTzadik, Shtei Parot Asa. Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol for a very long time. And he actually brought two poras in his time. And he himself, lo bekevesho tziyadzeh, he wouldn't take his own second pora on the same kevesh that he took his first pora. Now, what are you trying to tell me? That he was trying to outdo himself in conspicuous consumption? I mean, itlach lemeima Shimon HaTzadik shachatzaya, but that's what you're trying to say about Shimon HaTzadik? How can you say such a thing? So what must be the reason that this money was spent? My Kedon, what's the real reason? The real reason has got to be out of this tremendous sense of covet and mala for the para. So my Kedon, al shem ma'ala hi bipara, silsul hi bipara. We used to do all these incredible things to be mala, the chashivas of the para aduma, because of the problem that we had with the tzedukim and the way that we had allowed it to be brought with people who were actually tvulayon. Because of that, they went out of their way to be misacking that misapprehension of people that you could be makel on the parah. And this is part of all of those dinim that we had in Chagiga about the malos that were made lagabi tyra for the parah. So it can't be what Rebbe Hanina said. Tani and the Braisa, it says that these kvashim that were brought, they also had these ktolim, ayotzi mikan mikan, you know, like the bridge in Yerushalayim, the bridge of the Meitarim. So you have these walls extending on either side. Why? Because we don't want anybody sticking their head out over the edge, because maybe there's tuma underneath, and then they would be metama the kohen. So that was also part of it. Kidei shelo yotzitzu ha-kohanim v'yitam'u. We don't want them peeking out, and that way they could, chas v'shalom, become tame. Okay, then we had our machlokas about the moser peirot. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, we would actually invest in these high-quality wines and high-quality shemen and high-quality flour, solet, and then we would sell them with special heksher of hegdesh, and we would make money on that. So Rabbi Akiva said, no, ein mistakrim shal hegdesh, We never go and make money off of Hegdash because it's possible that they may end up losing. Now, there are some who bring that the reason is, and that's very problematic to our sugya, because the way that the Korban Ha'eda learns the Rabbi Akiva is because Ein Anius B'Mokom Hashiras, not because of the possibility of loss. And therefore, this sugya is going to be a little bit of a problem, because the way that we were learning it, which is the way that all the other Mefarshim learn it, is that we don't want Hegdash to take any chances on losing money of Hegdash. So we're not going to make an investment like that. But, of course, Im Ratza, Yeah, Hefset Shelo, Vasachar LaHegdash, then Rabbi Akiva is Meida. So if somebody wants to make a deal that they want to make a donation, they will cover all losses, and all profits will go to Hegdash. That, of course, is fine, because all we're concerned about is that we shouldn't lose money for Hegdash, but that we should make money for Hegdash, you would be allowed to do, and that would be okay. If that would be okay, so then, Lechora, it would be okay also if somebody's going to cover the liquidity for the Aniyim, it would be the same thing. Because, and in fact, we know there was this guy called Barzamina, and Barzamina means liquid, Mr. Liquid, right? Mizuman. So he wanted the money to remain Mizuman for the Aniyim. That was the problem. So the question was, we couldn't make any investments, which was chaval, because they had all this money sitting around in case one of the Aniyim would need it. So he was once given money to hold in trust for the Yisomim. So he came and he asked Rabbi Mana, would he be allowed to invest the money? Because it's chaval, he had all this money, and he felt he could make a lot of extra money. Omar Leitzer, Rabbi Mani, said to him, if you are ready to cover all losses and keep the money liquid, so then you could even share the profit. As long as we're always going to have the money, then it would be shari. Reb Chiya Bar Ada, he had a maisa where they gave him the money for Yisomim, and that's exactly what he did. He made this special t'nai that he would always have money available for the Yisomim, and that he would cover any and all losses, and because of that, he was allowed to do the same thing that Mr. Mizuman did, Barzamina. Okay, then we had the Machlokas Bechla, because according to Rabbi Yishmael, there was this new concept, which was called the Meiser HaPeres, and there was this other money that we didn't talk about before, Beferish in the Mishnah, which was called Meiser Nisachim. So what exactly were these things? So Meiser Peres, we know what they were. That only works out according to Rabbi Yishmael, like we said, because according to Rabbi Yishmael, you were allowed to make these investments, and when we got a lot of this money that we were able to sell to people who want the super duper extra Tyra Heksher of the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously, this is the first marker we have in the Tyra of the OU making money, right? So the Kashrus organizations, they make special money for giving their super duper Heksher. So and according to Rabbi Yishmael, this was fine. And that would mean that the whole Mishnah could only go like Rabbi Yishmael if we're talking about Motar Peros, because Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, he explained the meaning of the Mishnah, that the Motar Perot is the Sachar LeHegdash, that's what it's referring to. The Motar Nisachim is referring to something else. That's referring to the Sa'ar Revi'it. So what was the Sa'ar Revi'it? The Sa'ar Revi'it is a reference to the whole sugya that we have in a number of different places, but primarily in Menachas. So over there, the classic example is that when Hegdash would make a deal with a supplier, so they were worse than Walmart. What they used to do is they made a deal. Supplier has to supply at a rate of 3 sa'ah per seller, let's say, right? And we're buying now. You're going to be our supplier for the whole year on condition that you supply at that rate. But if the price goes down, you have to supply on the new rate, of course. And we get that advantage. If the price goes up, you're screwed. But we're okay. All right. So the only one who can get away with this nowadays is Amazon, Walmart. But anyway, so they kill the suppliers. So Besdin used to do the same thing. So the classic example was 3 per sella that then went up to 4 per sella. And that meant that they were all of a sudden, they get the fourth. That's what's the reference to the fourth amount that was given, that sa'a rivi'it, so the fourth rivi'is that they were not paid for, but they're going to have to supply. So that is what the Mosin HaKasim refers to. Now we got a lot of extra stuff, so what are we going to do with it? So that's what it's referring to. We use those Moser Nesach. But Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't understand the Mishnah like Rabbi Bar Yosef. He understood that what the Mishnah is referring to, because he didn't hold of the Peros, he was going like Rabbi Akiva. So he said the Moser Peros in the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shmuel about the super-duper Heksher. The Moser Peros is the Sar Revius. Now, according to me, Rabbi Yochanan says, the Moser Nesachim is a reference to Beirutzei HaMidot. And we know that we had a Beirutzei HaMidot issue as well, because the supplier would always have to supply with Beirutzei. Not to mention that when people brought even individually, they would bring Beirutzei. Now, Beirutzei means the overfilled container. So it always makes sure that the container is filled to the brim and beyond. And this was true whether we're talking about liquid measures, which were held in place by surface tension, which was the smaller Beirutz, or whether you're talking about Beirutzim of Midot HaYavesh, which was a larger Beirutz. But in either event, we would smooth it out before using, which gave us a nice extra income. So that Beirutzei HaMidot, certainly of the suppliers, later on we'll see whether it's even referring to the Yechidim, but the question is, what did we do with those Motarot? And what were they? So according to Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, somehow or other, we don't mention it, because he learns that the reference to the Moser Nesachim is not Beirutzei HaMidot, but it's rather the Sar Revius. So what happened to the Beirutzei HaMidot according to Reb Chiya Bar Yosef? What's he do with Reb Yochanan's Limut? The less lay the Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, the Beirutzei, I understand. I mean, we know that there are such things, so what did he hold you did with them? Reb Chizkia said Reb Chiya Bar Yosef didn't have that as a separate category. Whatever the din was about the Sa'ar Revi'it, that was done also with the Beirutzim. So that means that we have basically the two that are really two plus categories. One of them was Moser Peros Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael, and one of them was the Moser Nesachim plus Beirutzei Midas. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, that money of Beirutzim was separate, and then they had the money for the Sa'a Revi'it. So now basically we're saying Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina, the last thing we said in the Mishnah, both disagree with Rabbi Shmuel, and they hold that there is no such thing as doing business with Hagdash. And then the Gemara said that this seems to be clearly saying like Reb Chiya Bar Yosef. Because why all of a sudden were we saying that they're arguing? I'll die to the Reb Chiya Bar Yosef. Yes, Reb Chiya Bar Yosef said that when the Mishnah mentioned the Sachar Peirot, it's ipso facto getting into a machlokas, because it's only going to work out according to Rabbi Shmuel. So because of that, we immediately have Rabbi Akiva saying, no. Ein mishtakrim b'shal hegdesh, aflo b'shal aniyim. And therefore, we now understand that when it says that zev ezel lo ayumodim b'peirot, because they disagreed with this whole idea. So if you say you're not allowed to be mishtaker, so then that means that they disagree with that fund of Moser Peros. But the way Rabbi Yochanan is learning, nobody was talking about Moser Peros anyway. According to the way Rabbi Yochanan was learning, the Moser Peros was a reference to the Sar Revi'it. So why in the world does Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina have anything to say about that? They were only arguing with the question of whether you're allowed to do business. This is not business. I mean, this everybody is going to have to agree to, right? Because, I mean, look, later on we're going to have a mission that says, Beferish HaTanina, Amdu Mishalosh. Suppose somebody is a supplier and he commits to four, and now it goes up the price of flour. It's only three. He still has to supply four, and nobody argued about that. And that means that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina would never have argued about that. And nonetheless, Taninan, Zevezelo Yumodim Beperos. So this doesn't make any sense. If Rabbi Yochanan understood that the Peros is, in fact, the Sar Revius, how come nobody argued on it later on in the Mishnah? So it only works out not like Rabbi Yochanan. So how do you explain this according to the way that Rabbi Yochanan is learning. No, says the Gemara, the Mishnah is not saying that Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Hanina disagreed with the mitzias of the Moser Peres. It meant they disagreed with the use of the Moser Peres. You misunderstood the Mishnah. It meant that lo ayum odim beperot bekayetz hamizbeach. They said that we disagree with Rabbi Yishmael that Moser Peres went to kayetz hamizbeach. Not that they disagreed that there were Peres. Avomodima yubekli sharei. They agreed that, of course, it was used, but it was used for kli shareis, but there certainly was such a thing as the sarat revi'it. No. So now we're saying that Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan both agree that there is such a thing as Beirutzei midais, right? The only question is what category it falls into. But it's definitely going to be used to buy kli shareis. What Beirutzei midais precisely are we referring to? So Ad Kedon, to this point, I only know for sure that we're talking about Beirutzei midais of the Tzibur, for which we had a specific arrangement with suppliers. Would this be true even for Beirutzei Yochid? So let's say every Yochid brought a brim over the brim, so it was packed to the brim, which means over the brim, obviously, and then they would take it off. So would we use the Beirutzei midais of the Yochid also for the same purpose, which would mean that it would be used, according to Rabbi Akiva, it would be used for buying the kli shareis? But then wouldn't it be lo nimtzu kli shareit ba'in mishal yachid? And I thought we were makbid to have the kli shareit brought from the rabbin. Says the Gemara, what's the problem? Remember, we just went through this 2 days ago. If a mother of a Kohen Gadol made, it says, the big day lava, and she put all of this in millions into it, and she dedicates it to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Tzibur, that the Kohen Gadol actually uses this for the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim. And it says over there, if she was Asta Ketonet Livna, it's kosher, as long as she was Moseret Letzibur Yafe Yafe, and we rely on that. The only thing we got into, whether the Etzim Korban can be, yeah, that was a machlokas, but everybody was baita. We said that things that are used as a hachonah for a carbon, that for sure is okay. So then the same thing would be true over here. We don't have to worry if we're going to use the yochid's additional birutzei midais, as long as he's meiser it to the tzibor, and we'll use it to buy the klei shareis. Ad kedon birutzei lach. Now, wait a minute. Now, I understand that this is true about birutzei lach. Why is it true about birutzei lach? Why do we have a question about Beirutzei Yovesh? Now, there's a big difference, like we saw in Menachas, between the Kiddush HaKli of the measurements of Lach and the measurements of Yovesh. Where we have a measurement in a Kli that is used for Lach, then all of the liquid is constantly exchanging places. The molecules are moving around. As I pour in more liquid and it goes over the brim, obviously, we don't have specific molecules that remain over the brim. And we have this constant circulation over time in which all of the liquid became kodesh by being inside of the kildusha sakli. And the kli is only mekadesh masha betocho. But when it comes to birutzei yovesh, over there, if it's actually sticking out above the rim, it isn't inside of the kli shareis. And inside of the kli shareis is the only part that's going to be mekadesh. So that's one reason for the difference. Now, there's another shita that says that the dinim of the kli shareis was, of course, dependent on the kedusha of the shemen hamishcha. So the shemen hamishcha, when it came to a kli shareis that was only mekudesh mibifnim, the kli shareis could not be mekadesh anything that was balanced on its rim, because its rim is considered to be part of the outside. But the klei lach was mekudesh even on the outside, in which case the surface tension that held things up over the rim would be mekudesh by the kiddushei harim. Barnea, at least tell me that was good. No, nothing. Not a word. Just Rebbe, please drink. Ah, okay, fine. I got one. Very good. That's the second yeshukayach for a pun that I've gotten from Barnea over Pesach. So it's definitely an end to the Golas Hadibur and to the Golas Hadas. certified by our very own Kohen Gadol. Okay. So that would be a difference. So what would be the halacha? Legabe birutze yovesh. Says the Gemara, that's true. Kahida tanin and taman, the Mishnah Menocha says that on the sachim shekritshu bekli, v'nimtza hazevach pasal. So if I already made a nesachim kodesh, and then it turns out that the nesachim that I was bringing for this particular korban, the animal of the korban turned out to be pasal. So what do we do with it? Im yesh sam zevach acher yikruvu imo. If they're needed, so then we can use them. But im lav, if not, then the moment that they're left overnight, then yifsalu belina. So it says over here that if they were already kodesh, specifically, then lanu, they become pasul. So enochinami, that would mean that if there is no way to be mekadesh them, such as the birutzi amidais, it was not mekadesh at all. All right, it wouldn't be pasul belina. And now for a word from our dear kapitan. Halacha Gimel. So now we get to the problem of the Mosar HaKtores. Why is this a specific problem? It's a very unique problem. The reason it's a unique problem is those of you who say over the Brisa of the Keteres every day, you will recall that the Keteres had 368 monas. 365 was connected to 365 days of the solar year, which shouldn't really matter. We'll explain in a moment why it does matter. And then there were the additional three monas, out of which the Kohen Gadol would take his chafina. But his chafina never was larger than a half a mana. So what that meant is that on the average, every year we had at least a leftover of 2.5 plus of the additional three manas, which were not needed for the chafina. He did the chafina in them, but then they weren't brought. Plus, remember that it's only over a period of 19 years that we average out the 354 days in the lunar year with the 365 days in the solar year. And that means we're going to have a heck of a lot in most years, we're going to have a heck of a lot left over. And yet, what if you recall, that la'acher shishim o shivim shana, depending on how large the chafina had been, so then we would end up with half of the shear of the 368 manas. So we ended up with 184 manas, and that was after 60 or 70 years. We couldn't define exactly because it would depend on the various chafinas of the Kohanim Gedolim. And we kept that keteres as going to be used in that next year, in the 71st year. We only make half of the amount of keteres. Problem is that that means that we had to preserve the keteres even though it was pasul, because it was brought from the shkolim of the previous year. And the shkolim of the previous year, we were never able to be mechadesh to maybe from the Truma HaKadosha. So what the heck did we do to be able to make the Meisar HaKeteres constantly renewed with the value of the shkolim of the new Machzis HaShekel? So what did we do? Okay, now, this sugya, we've learned in other Masechtas, there are many different girsaot, and there are many different shitot. One of the fundamental differences in the girsa is whether the word mimena appears at all, mafrishin mimena. And if it does appear, what is it referring to? So in Rashi, in the Gemara, it appears. In Rashi, also, it's referring to mimena from the Keteres. So we will take that approach. But you must realize that there's tremendous machlokes about whether this is the approach that the Gemara is actually saying. Not only that, there's a lot of steers between the sugya over here in the Yerushalmi and the sugya when it appears elsewhere in Krisus and the Bavli. So we're just learning the sugya, Kipshutai, the way Rashi explains it in the Bavli. So we would take Mafrishin Mimena, so we would take the leftover of the Keteres, sufficient that would be equal to the pay that we would be paying various workers in the Beis HaMikdash, and then we would take the Keteres, we would be mechalal it on money. Now, right now, we think it means on the money that we had already set aside to pay the umanim. The Gemara is going to point out that's ridiculous. You can't be mechalal hegdish on money that's already hegdish. So we're going to explain in the end, of course, that this is a reference to what we spoke about yesterday, which is borrowing money from the bank first before this is done, because otherwise you're not going to be able to do this. The professor is here. Holy professor. Do I get a wave? How long the professor's not waving? So what do we do? All right, so we're pretending right now that we're going to take it and be mechalal, the kedusha of the keteres from last year, onto the money that has been set aside to be paying for people who are working in the Beis HaMikdash. And then we give the keteres, which is no longer kadesh, because we were mechalal it. By the way, this is already a problem. Because how can you be mechalal the something that was kadesh b'kedusha saguf? If you made the keteres in a kli sharis, so then you wouldn't be allowed to be mechalal it. Fine. We'll deal with that issue also. The whole sugya is very confusing and only clarifies itself towards the end. But let's ignore all the questions. So let's presume that we can magically take off the Kedusha from the Keteres, be mechalal it on the money that we were going to pay to these people who had been working on various things in the Beis HaMikdash. Then we buy the Keteres off of them, utilizing new shekalim, and that would make the actual Keteres a Keteres that was Kodesh with the Kedusha of the new shkolim that went off onto the Keteres when we used the money to buy from the Umanim that had this Chulin Keteres, which had already been Mechulal. Now, this is only true if we've got enough money to pay for it. So this is Imba Chodesh Bizmano, yes. So then if we got the new shkolim in time, so then we would buy back the leftover Keteres out of the money that was brought from the Truma Chadasha. But if we didn't have enough, and this was, remember, at the beginning of Nisan, so we didn't have enough at the first day of Nisan. Remember that we learned before that you are allowed to bring, if you don't have any, you're allowed to buy Korbanos from the Truma Yishana. So obviously, if we didn't have new Shkalim to repurchase the Keteres, we would repurchase the Keteres from the old. Fine. Now, asks the Gemara, how the heck could you possibly be mechalal the keteres on the money that was set aside to pay if that money was already kodesh? V'lo nimtza hegdesh mitchalel ala hegdesh? How can you be mechalal the hegdesh of the kedusha in the keteres onto the hegdesh that's already kodesh for the payment of the workmen? You're right. Obviously, we mean the same thing that we said yesterday. First, you borrow money from the bank, okay? So, or if you have the money that is already kodesh from these people that were meant to be paid with, you could take that money and you can make it chulin. How? Because when you get the new, like we learned yesterday, you have to get a new stone that has been worked on and it's all decorated, and now you're putting it in place in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not yet kodesh. So you buy that stone by being mechalal, the money that was set aside from the funds for the workmen, you're mechalal it on the stone. That would mean that the stone now becomes kodesh, and the money is now chulin. And then you could bring the keteres, and you could be mechalal it on that money, which is now chulin, and then you can give the keteres, like we said, to the umanim, and now there's no problem. Okay, but I don't understand. What do we do with the money? So we took money, you said, and we were mechalal the keteres on that money. So, but then that money has the kedusha of last year's truma. So what do we do with that money? You never said what we use it for. So what exactly would we be talking about? Rebbe Omer, I say, we use this money, gufa, to pay for the making of last year's keteres. How do you do that? Because remember that Beit Garmo and Beit Aftinus, They were specifically Bekiyim in how to make the Keteres. They were the ones that had the Mesera of what exactly are the correct ingredients, where is Male Ashan that nobody knew. They were the only ones who knew where it was. They were the only ones who could figure out how to make the Lechem Aponim in a way that it wouldn't collapse. And they got a lot of money for that work. And so because of that, the Kedusha of last year's Trumas Halishka, which is now on this money, was used to pay for last year's Hachana of the Kederes and the Lechem Aponim. Omrib Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, okay, but that's only going to work if we owed them money for last year. I mean, if they weren't owed money for last year and they had insisted on being paid out of Hekdesh funds for last year, so then how can we use it to pay them for last year? We can't use it for this year because then we'd be paying for this year's Ketores with last year's Kedusha. So we're, in that case, you wouldn't be able to do it. So as Reb Chiya Bar Bas said, okay, so then what would we do? If you're saying we wouldn't be able to use it, so if, in fact, lo ayu chayovim lema'ot mishar rishona, what did we do if we didn't owe money? So Ata Reb Chiya Bar Ba, b'shem Reb Yosa, and he said, we can use that money to buy Kayetz LaMizbeach. So it falls for an Adava. Says Reb Bar Kohen to Reb Yosa, something is screwy over here. You're now inverting the whole story of the Gemara. Because originally, the one who asked the question, what would we do with the money, was who? Who is Reb Chiya Bar Ba? And now you have Reb Chiya Bar Ba quoted as the one who gives the answer to the question that he asked. What is that supposed to mean? So first you said, because Taman Srichalei, in the question, he was the one who asked the question, right? And now when you're bringing the answer, you're bringing it from him. So if he knew that, why did he ask the question? You obviously have confused your Mandiarmim. No. You're mixed up in what he wanted to know. What he asked was, can you or can you not? He knew you could use it for Kayetz HaMizbeach, but he did not know whether you would be allowed to do purchase of a Kli Shoreis, which we used other Mosras for. He wasn't sure. Why wasn't he sure? Very simply. What was the heter for using the Mosras for Kli Shoreis? So like we explained it before, the whole understanding of it was that since the Kli Shoreis were needed for the Hakrov of the actual carbon, and we said the same logic on the Mizbeach HaZohav, so if you're going to need it for the Hakrov, so then it makes sense that you should be able to bring it out of funds that were left over for the Hakrov. Okay, so now when it comes to the question of leftover funds for the Keteres, what does this revolve around? It revolves around whether you need a Kli Shoreis to make the Keteres. And that happens to be a Machloikas. And that Reb Chiya Bar Ba did not know who the Halacha was like. So when he asked, what do you do with it? He didn't mean, I don't know what you could use it for. Of course he knew what you could use it for. You could use it for Kayetz Mizbeach. But he wanted to know, what sheet are we paskin like? Does the Keteres have to be made in a Kli Shoreis? Or could the Keteres be made in Klei Chol? If the Keteres can be made in Klei Chol, then there would be no excuse for buying Klei Shoreis with Moisra Keteres. And we know that that's a machlokas. This palgun. Pitma Bechulin, let's say an individual made the Keteres in a Klei Chol. Can he donate it to the Beis HaMikdash to use? So Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Hanina said, no, it's possible. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, absolutely, it's kosher. So that means, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, you can use even a Kli Chol, in which case, obviously, you weren't allowed to use the Mosra Keteres to buy a Kli Shoreis. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Ba wanted to know, does the Halacha go like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, that we do use a Kli Shoreis, in which case I could buy a Kli Shoreis? Or does it go like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says I don't need a Kli Shoreis, in which case I couldn't use the Mosra to buy a Kli Shoreis? By the way, what exactly is the basis of the machlokas between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? My taima, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina. Where does Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina get the idea that I absolutely need to have a Kli Shoreis? He learns it. Now, there seems to be a bit of a problem in the pasuk that we bring. Because if the Gemara is darshan the pasuk kodesh he, there is no such pasuk about the ketores. The pasuk of kodesh he, the kodesh tielachen, is said about the kodesh hu on the Shemen HaMishcha. So some change the girsa to say kodesh tielachal Lashem, in which case it's saying that b'shahat havaya, as the kodesh is coming into being. So that means when as it comes into existence, it has to be in the context of kodesh. Shetei havayata b'kodesh, which means that it has to be in a klisharis. That's his svar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, it says kodesh hi. And that means only, not that it has to become kodesh, but that it should be brought from the Trumas HaLishka, which is kodesh. But it doesn't say it has to be in a Kli Kodesh. So that would be the nafkamina between the two shitas. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Bon, Atad Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina Kishmuel, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Rabbi Yochanan. It actually works out that there are two shitas that are different according to the same difference between Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, namely a machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. I'll show you. Take a look. Because the Mishnah later on, tomorrow's Mishnah, is going to say that if somebody was magnish nechasa, vayubem dvarim ruyim lekorban tzibur, so somebody gives a general kedusha, everything that I own, he's giving to the Beis HaMikdash. Inside the things that he owns are things that can be used for korbanos tzibur. Rabbi Yochanan said, what is the Mishnah referring to? It's referring to the keteres. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say that? Because it says beferish, that there were behemoths, or there were shemen, or there were soilas. It says, so what are the Dvarim Ruim Le Karbanos Tzibur could only be referring to the Keteres. So then that means that according to Rabbi Yochanan, I am allowed to bring the Keteres for the Tzibur from this guy's home, who was Magdash Nechasev. So clearly that goes according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says you do not need a Klisharis, but it's a serious problem for Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina. Omer of Oshaya, it's not a problem for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. How do we know that the person in question who dedicated everything he owns to the Beis HaMikdash, how do we know we're not referring to somebody who worked for Beit Aftinas? And remember that Beit Aftinas, they were paid with the Ketoret, which was then exchanged for the new Machzis HaShekel. Maybe this guy didn't sell his Ketoret back. And maybe what he did was instead he dedicated everything he owned to the Beis HaMikdash, including the Ketores, in which case this Ketores was a perfectly well-formed Ketores, which he had originally made in Beit Aftinas, and it had been made in a Kli Shores, and therefore it was kosher. So it should be fine. It's talking not about Stam, a Yochid who only has Kli Chol. Now, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina ends up going beautifully like Shmuel. Because Ravuna quoted Shmuel as saying that in order to grind the keteres, you would have to make the grinder into a klishores. Because that's, it says, b'havayata. So you see that the machteshet asuotak a klishores l'kadesh. So it needed to be a klishores to make. So that's going alib the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, who says that you can only make the keteres inside of a klishores. Asks the Gemara. But then there's a fundamental problem over here. Because if you hold like Shmuel, Om Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Bon, Amaror Rabbi Huna Kamei Rabbi Yossi, he, Rabbi Huna, raised the issue. How in the world, if the Ketores has to be made in a Klishores, so then how does the Mishnah say that you were paid it? You can't be paid as something that was made in a Klishores because it has Kedushas Haguf. And the Mishnah just gave this whole complicated Mishigas about how it is we're going to be Mechal of the Keteres. You can't be Mechal of the Keteres. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Omar Lei said Rabbi Yossi to Rav Huna, listen, it's not a problem because the problem only arises according to Shmuel, right? And Shmuel is the one who says that you use the Klishores. But Shmuel, anyway, is Mekel. And he allows you to be Mechalal Motarot, because we have a famous machloket. And this machloket is a rather complex sugya, I agree. Please don't lose faith. but there are a lot of sub-machlokas in over here that are machlokas that are nogea all over Shas in the dinim of Kedusha. So it's a little disheartening. Every time we get to a new place, we end up with a new machlokas. But it turns out that there is a machlokas about the concept called Lev Beit Din Matneh. Lev Beit Din Matneh would mean that the Bezdin is able, when the Kedusha is created on something, they're able to make a condition that in the event that this is not needed and turns out to be extra, which is motarot, then we are not giving it Kedusha Saguf. And the Kedusha should not be chal. Shmuel holds that that's what's done. And therefore, wherever you have motarot, there's no problem with being paida because there was never Kedusha Saguf. So, and this gufa is a machloka Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan, which fits in perfectly with the sugya that we just had over here, because now each one is able to learn kishitase. Dispalga. Machlokas is between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan like this. Remember that at the end of every year, we've got four tmimim that are left over, because there was never less than six karbones tmimim that were in the Lishkas Hagazis. Keneged, Rosh Hashanah, and Shabbos, right? So we would have 3 days of Kedusha. So we had six karbonas of the Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. So then at the end of the year, when we bring the last day of the year, what are we going to do with the leftover to meet him? So Shmuel says, what's the problem? You can even be paid to them, and you can use them by rebuying them from the Truma Chadasha. And now you'll have beautiful karbonas for your carbon Tamid in the next year. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you can't do that. They're already Kaddish B'Kedusha Zaguf. You have to wait until they become Psulei HaMukdashim. So you let them roam around until they get a mum. And after they get a mum, then you can be paid to them. And then, fine, but there's nothing, you can't use them themselves. So now we see there's a machlokas, legabe, the korbanes that were left over. The same machlokas would be true about the Keteris. So therefore, it's no problem, according to Shmuel. The same way I can be paid a leftover carbon tamid, I can be paid a leftover keteres, because leiv bezdimas naleihem. How about benogea si'irim that were left over? So we had si'irim we had set aside for chateis hatzibur, and they were left over at the end of the year. Maybe they had gotten lost, and we had to take another one, and then they ended up being found, in which case for tzibur that becomes ma'israis. What do we do with it? So al daite de Shmuel, look, I mean, according to Shmuel, if an oila can be padui, so lo koshkein a chatas can be padui. I mean, obviously, the chatas, for sure, we're concerned that we're not going to need the chatas. The oila we can always use for something, for kayetza mizbeach of a tzibur. So for sure, leif vesin is masa on that. But al daite de Rabbi Yochanan, there is now, please hold on tight, we have to pop down to yet one other sub-machlokas of the current sub-machlokas of the previous sub-machlokas about what's done with Masorot. So there's now a sub-machlokas between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak about what we would do, Aliva de Rabbi Yochanan, in the case where we don't hold of Leif Bezdin Masna when it comes to the Zeira. So according to Rabbi Zeira, we'd have to let them be Yira'u Ach Yistaevu, and they get a mum, and so on. But according to Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, we can use them for a Kayetz HaMizbeach themselves. What? That makes no sense, says the Gemara Bekashia. If they, according to Rabbi Yochanan, they were made as a chatas, how can you use the Kedusha of a chatas if he doesn't hold of Leif Bezdin Masna? How can you use the Kedusha of a chatas as an oila? That's insane. A chatas is completely possible for an oila. What the heck is Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak talking about? Omer Rav Yusa, there's a big difference. The difference is that when you said that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't hold of Leif Bezdin Masna, that doesn't mean he doesn't believe that the Leif Bezdin has a right to define what Kedusha it is. It just means that he holds that Leif Bezdin was not Masna, that it shouldn't have the Kedusha Saguf at all. Shmuel said that Leif Bezdin could be Masna, that there's no Kedusha. That Rabbi Yochanan said there's no such thing. There's definitely Kedusha. Now the Shaila is, when we go ahead and we're Magdish this carbon, at that point, Bezdin can say, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, at least that's the way Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak understands Rabbi Yochanan, that Leif Bezdin says, look, we want the staff Kedusha Zaguf, but we will not define which Kedusha it has until we actually need it. So if we end up needing it for the Korban Chatas of a Tzibur, fine. So then we give it that Kedusha upon usage. If it turns out it wasn't needed, so then it's a Tnai Beis Dinu, that if it's left over, it doesn't become Chulin, like Shmuel said, but it does become an Oila. And therefore, we're not taking a Chatas and bringing it as an Oila. We're taking an Oila and bringing it as an Oila, even on Libet Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak. So we now have examined all of the variations. Now, tomorrow we're going to get to the actual Mishnah that we discussed just now. So we've already had a preview.